of New Suspense coming up now on CITR 101.9 FM. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some spoken word entertainment here with us.
Are you looking for a volunteer opportunity that fits your schedule? Being a big sister takes less time than you think, and you can choose the volunteer opportunity that fits your life. Spend just 1 hour a week as a study buddy, tutor, or 2 hours a week as a big sister. Check out the various mentoring programs at Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland and find a volunteer position and a little sister that will suit you to a T. Visit bigsisters.bc.ca for more information today.
Tonight, we take pleasure in bringing you Suspense, a weekly anthology of notable melodramas from stage and screen, fiction and radio, presented each week to bring you to the edge of your chair, to keep you in suspense.
Ready for dinner, Kasker?
A radish. One radish.
Divided two ways, remember.
Heck of a meal for two grown adults.
Well, if you'd like to give up your share...
Oh, shut up and cut the radish. Don't make a production out of it. We're approaching the only planet-bearing sun in the vicinity, and we want to be through with supper before we get much closer.
Will you say grace?
I'll give you grace, you dirty so-and-so.
Not much bulk value.
Getting a read on the planets in this system now.
Our last meal was 3 days ago. If two biscuits and a cup of water can be called a meal.
It's a feast compared to what we have left now.
Which is to say, nothing. Not a morsel of food left on the ship. And if we don't find some on one of these two planets...
One planet. One's burned to a crisp.
Then we'll land on the other.
Yeah.
Still don't know how I could have gotten those requisition forms wrong at the Kaleo station.
Yeah.
Maybe the ground crew just plain forgot to load those last cases of food.
I said yeah. What more do you want? We're coming in now.
What do you think our odds of finding anything edible down there are? What does mean?
What do you think it means? Just look at this place.
The whole planet looks like a giant porcupine.
Yeah, nothing but a million needle-sharp mountains as far as the eye can see.
It can't be all mountains.
It's not.
Oh, you're right. Looks like some oceans and lakes in between the mountains. Not a bit of level land to be found.
Or animal life, according to the scanners. Hey, at least it has an oxygen atmosphere.
What other choice do we have?
None. We're going in.
We'll be right back.
11 approaches before we could land?
What do you expect? There's not a level spot on the entire planet.
But 11 approaches before we could land?
You think you could do better? That's what I thought.
I'm just saying.
Stupid place to build.
This one building is the only structure we saw, and it looks abandoned. The whole planet looks abandoned.
Anyone in his right mind would abandon this place. There's enough good planets around without anyone trying to live on a needle point. Door's locked.
You know, when this planet was still in a molten state, it must have been affected by several gigantic moons that are now broken up. The strains, external and internal, wrenched it into its present spined appearance and...
Come off it, Hellman. You were a librarian before you decided to get rich on uranium. Now, melt the door, will you?
Fine.
Looks like a warehouse of some sort.
Yeah. Boxes and containers of all sizes and shapes. Some big enough to hold an elephant. Others the size of a thimble.
Must be food in here somewhere.
Ooh, some books!
Never mind that. Let's eat first. Nothing but dust. This place has been abandoned for a long time.
This is interesting.
Better stick to the cans.
Yes, very interesting.
Blech! Green slime. Ew, orange slime.
And this.
Hellman, will you kindly drop that book and help me find some food?
Food? What makes you think there's anything to eat here? For all you know, this could be a paint factory.
It's a warehouse.
Ah, but what sort of warehouse?
Some kind of purple stick. Well, might as well try it.
That might be extract of strychnine. After all, even if this is a warehouse, a cache if you wish, we don't know what the late inhabitants considered good fare. Paris green salad, perhaps, with sulfuric acid as dressing?
All right, but we gotta eat. What are you gonna do about all these thousands of cans, boxes, and bottles?
The thing to do is make a qualitative analysis on 4 or 5 samples. We could start out with a simple titration, sublimate the chief ingredient, see if it forms a precipitate, work out its molecular makeup from...
Hellman! You can stop the brainiac talk. You're a librarian, not a chemist, remember? And I'm a correspondence school pilot.
Like I could forget that.
What was that?
Nothing. Nothing.
Anyway, we don't know anything about titrations and sublimations.
I know, but we should. It's the right way to go about it.
Sure, sure. So we'll wait till you get through with that mail order chemistry degree course to eat anything.
Well, we might not have to wait for that.
Meaning?
Meaning, do you know what this book is?
No.
It's a pocket dictionary and guide to the Helg language.
Helg?
The planet we're on. The symbols match up with those on the boxes.
Never heard of Helg.
I don't believe the planet has ever had any contact with Earth. This dictionary isn't Helg English. It's Helg Alumbrigian.
Alumbrigian? They're a reptilian race, right? Out near the center of the galaxy?
Yes.
How come you can read Alumbrigian?
Oh, being a librarian isn't a completely useless profession in my spare time.
Yeah. Now, how about...
Do you know that the Alumbrigians probably helped the Helgans leave their planet and find another? They sell services like that. In which case, this building very likely is a food cache.
Suppose you can the chatter and start translating. Maybe even find us something to eat.
Let's see. Use Sniffners, the better abrasive.
Doesn't sound edible.
I'm afraid not. Vigroom, fill all your stomachs and fill them right.
What kind of creatures do you suppose these Helgans were?
Argacel makes your thundra all tizzy. Contains 30 arps of Ramstadt poles, for shell lubrication.
Ugh, there must be something here we can eat.
I hope so. Vormatish. Good as it sounds.
Oh, I'm sure.
Okay, we need to figure out a plan.
Okay, so figure.
If we could deduce what kind of creatures inhabited this planet, we'd know what kind of food they ate and whether it's likely to be edible for us.
So far, all we know is that they wrote a lot of lousy advertising copy.
What kind of intelligent beings would evolve on a planet that is all mountains?
Stupid ones.
I don't think we can infer anything about the Helgans from the mountains. The mountains don't tell us if the late inhabitants of this world ate silicates, or proteins, or iodine-based foods, or...
Or anything.
Now look, we'll have to work this out by pure logic. Are you listening to me?
Sure.
Okay. There's an old proverb that covers our situation perfectly. One man's meat is another man's poison.
Yeah?
We can assume first that their meat is our meat.
What if their meat is our poison? What then?
Then we will assume that their poison is our meat.
And what happens if their meat and their poison are our poison?
We starve.
Ah, all right. Which assumption do we start with?
Well, there's no sense in asking for trouble. This is an oxygen planet, if that means anything. Let's assume that we can eat some basic food of theirs. If we can't, we'll start on their poisons.
If we live that long.
Androgenite's Delight.
Oh, yummy.
Verbel, for longer, curlier, more sensitive antennae.
Anything for more sensitive antennae.
Valcorin's Universal Taste Treat, for all digestive capacities. Well, sounds as promising as anything so far.
That's a mighty low bar there. It's just a rubbery red block, like jelly.
No odor.
Bite into it.
Me? Why not you?
Hey, you picked it.
I prefer just looking at it. Besides, I'm not too hungry.
Oh, neither am I. All right, you coward. I'll try it. Just remember, though, if I'm poisoned, you'll never get off this planet. You don't know how to fly the ship.
Just take a little bite, then.
What the heck was that?
I didn't hear anything. Go ahead, try it.
Every time I poke at it, it giggles.
Well, that's just your imagination.
Was that my imagination? Okay, what do we try next?
What do you mean, what do we try next? Eat up.
I don't eat anything that giggles.
Oh, now listen to me. The creatures who manufactured this might have been trying to create an aesthetic sound as well as a pleasant shape and color. That giggle is probably only for the amusement of the eater.
Well, it's not working, because I am not amused.
Oh, try it.
Try it yourself.
Let's move it out of the way.
Now what?
We look around some more.
Huh. It all looks the same to me.
Evidently, there's a series of these rooms going completely around the building. I wonder if we should explore them.
Do you think we'll last that long?
Say, that crate you're sitting on. Fascinating.
What? Is it something to eat?
No, you are sitting on something called the Morog Custom Super Transport for the discriminating Helgan who desires the best in vertical transportation. It's a vehicle.
Oh.
This is important. Look at it. How does it work?
Dunno. From the shape of the crate, retractable wheels, probably, but...
It says to give it 3 amphas of high-gain Integor fuel, then a van of Tonder lubrication, and not to run it over 3,000 rules for the first 50 mungus.
Let's find something to eat.
But don't you see how important this is? This could solve our problem. If we could deduce the alien logic inherent in constructing this vehicle, we might know the Helgans' thought pattern. This, in turn, would give us insight into their nervous systems, which would imply their biochemical makeup.
In English?
For example, what kind of vehicle would be used in a place like this? Not one with wheels, retractable or otherwise. Everything is up and down. Anti-gravity? Perhaps. But what kind of anti-gravity? And why did the inhabitants devise a box-like form instead of...
Kindly stop making like a scientist. And let's see if there isn't something we can gulp down.
Fine. Here's something.
What does it say?
A little bit hard to translate, but rendered freely it reads, Morishil's Voozy with Lacto-Ecto added for new taste sensation. Everyone drinks Voozy, good before and after meals. No unpleasant after effects. Good for children. The drink of the universe.
Okay, that sounds good.
Well, this should tell us once and for all if their meat is our meat. This Voozy seems to be the closest thing to a universal drink I've found yet.
Maybe it's just plain water.
We'll see.
Looks like a crystal clear liquid. No odor. Ah! That liquid, it's pouring itself out of the drum and coming after me!
How curious.
Hellman!
Oops. Looks like I bumbled the translation. It doesn't say everyone drinks Voozy. It's Voozy drinks everyone.
What?
But that tells us something. The Helgans must have soaked liquid in through their pores. Naturally, they would prefer to be drunk instead of to drink.
Thank goodness it's giving up and going back to its drum. Close that drum!
Well, that's not good. We've been taking it for granted that the Helgans had eating habits like us. But of course, they didn't necessarily.
No, they didn't. They most certainly didn't.
I guess we'll have to assume that their meat is our poison. So now we'll see if their poison is our meat. Here's a likely-looking poison.
That tiny tube? What does it say?
Pavaskin's Plugger. Warning, highly dangerous. Pavaskin's Plugger is designed to fill holes or cracks of not more than 2 cubic vims. However, the plugger is not to be eaten under any circumstances. The active ingredient, ramitol, which makes Pavaskin so excellent as a plugger, renders it highly dangerous when taken internally.
Sounds great. It'll probably blow us sky high.
Do you have any other suggestions?
I got nothing. Go ahead.
Nothing.
It's got a seal. Blech! Evil-smelling green froth.
Come, come. Faint heart never filled an empty stomach.
I'm not holding you back from trying it.
That blob on the floor is growing quite quickly.
How long is that supposed to go on?
Well, it's advertised as a plugger. I suppose that's what it does. Expands to plug up holes.
Sure, but how much?
Unfortunately, I don't know how much 2 cubic vims are, but it can't go on much longer.
The room's a quarter filled already.
And expanding even faster. Look out!
I can't get out this way. The only direction I can go is backwards. How long is it going to keep growing?
Without knowing how much 2 cubic vims is, there's no way to tell. 2 cubic miles, perhaps? For all we know, this plugger was used to repair faults on the crust of planets.
The label was right. This stuff is dangerous.
Can you burn your way out the other door?
I don't have a burner, remember?
Okay. I'll circle around and get you out the other side. I gotta get Kasker out. She's my friend. And I can't fly the ship. You in there, Kasker?
Where else would I be?
Okay, stand back. I'm going to melt the door.
I'll stand back as much as I can. Thanks. Looks like it stopped growing. So what do you want to have try eat me next?
I have an idea.
You'll forgive me if that doesn't fill me with confidence.
Come on, I'll explain on the way. I think we should try the super custom transport.
Why?
Because I think it's an animal.
Are you off your rocker?
Come on, help me open this crate.
It's your funeral. No, wait. Since everything seems to come after me, it'll be my funeral.
Now, to find high-gain Integor fuel.
Wait a second.
Aha! Just as I thought. Stand back, Kasker!
Not a problem. What the heck?
It occurred to me that the most efficient machine to go over these vertical, razor-sharp mountains would be an animal. Probably with retractable suckers.
Oh, it's got those all right.
It was kept in hibernation between trips, and water was used to waken it. So it stands to reason that the other products designed for it should be palatable for us as well. And we can even eat the custom super transport itself. I guess that if one man's meat and his poison are your poison, you need to try eating something else.
That's all well and good, Hellman, but you'd better burn this thing and right quick.
Why?
Because the way it's looking at me, the custom super transport seems to think I'm its meat.
So ends One Man's Poison by John C. Alsadek and Dana Perry Hayes. Tonight's story of Suspense. Suspense is produced by Blue Hours Productions and recorded at Melrose Music in Hollywood, California. Tonight's radio drama was adapted for Suspense by John C. Alsadek and Dana Perry Hayes from the short story by Robert Sheckley. Damon Krall was Hellman and Catherine Kamei was Kasker. I'm your host, Damon Krall. Next week at this time, tune in again for another study in Suspense.
What is disability insurance? 1 out of 10 Canadians wouldn't know how to answer this question. What's more troubling is that 3 out of 4 Canadians say that being unable to work for 3 months due to a disability would severely impact their personal finances. But getting covered is easier than you think. It generally only costs between 1% and 3% of your income, and insurance benefits can maintain your income as though you're still at work full time. If you are a working person, then stay safe and get covered. Statistics courtesy of RBC Insurance.
You know what's better than reading a great magazine? Reading a great magazine that also helps you fight poverty. Megaphone Magazine is sold by homeless and low-income vendors on the streets of Vancouver and Victoria. Vendors buy magazines for 75 cents and sell them for $2. It's flexible, low-barrier work for people who may not have access to traditional jobs. Download the Megaphone app to find vendors and buy the magazine, even when you don't have change.
Tonight, we take pleasure in bringing you Suspense, a weekly anthology of notable melodramas from stage and screen, fiction and radio, presented each week to bring you to the edge of your chair, to keep you in suspense.
Mom! Mom!
I'm in the living room.
I know. That's why I'm yelling.
I know. That's why I'm telling you where I am if you want to come talk to me.
All right. Here I am. In the living room. Can I speak now?
I don't know. Can you?
Mm-hmm. I just love having a writer for a mother. May I speak now?
Of course.
Which box is all my bathroom stuff in?
Why, the one marked Cassie's bathroom, of course. Assuming the person who did the packing marked it appropriately, that is, and didn't just write stuff on all the boxes.
I'll start going through them.
Anything else?
Oh, no. Why would there be anything else?
Good. In that case, let's get back to unpacking, shall we?
So that's it?
You said there wasn't anything else, so I assumed you actually meant it.
Of course there's something else.
Fine. What's on your mind, Cassie?
You know what's on my mind.
Yes? You hate it here. It's the worst place ever. Why did we have to move, Mom?
This isn't funny.
You're right. It isn't. You've been doing this since before we even heard of Mukwanago. You had your mind set on hating it sight unseen.
Well, can you blame me? We live on Blood Street, Mom. Blood Street.
Named for one of the town's founders.
On the shores of Phantom Lake.
Named for an old Native American legend about a water spirit and a girl it claimed for its bride.
And a girl it claimed for its bride. And you wonder why I'm creeped out?
You're just not giving it a chance. It's a lovely little town. There's a corner grocer, a soda fountain. You can walk to school.
Whitewash a fence or two. Skip rocks on the haunted lake.
Cassie, I know this move is hard. It's hard for me too.
Why would it be? You barely ever leave your typewriter.
But we've talked about this a million times. We simply couldn't afford to keep our old house after your father left us.
And I told you a million times. I was willing to help out with the bills.
You're 16 years old. You shouldn't have to be worrying about that. Besides, you need to keep saving up for school.
And how am I going to do that? Back home, I had a whole network of neighbors. Friends of neighbors and friends of neighbors. I babysat at least 3 nights a week, ran errands, and did gardening and chores for the older folks. I was making way more than I would have bagging groceries at the Safeway. What do I do now, huh?
Well, build a new network here in Mukwanago, I guess.
Mom, it took me 8 years to build the one I had. Ever since I was old enough to cross the street by myself to water Mrs. McReady's begonias. And I sure don't plan on being here for 8 years.
I don't know what else to tell you. You can either gripe about things you can't do anything about, or you can focus your energy on what you can do something about.
You know, you are absolutely right.
I am?
Yep. In fact, I'm going to get started right now.
But what about all those boxes?
I'm not in that big of a hurry to unpack. Because I don't plan on being here any longer than I have to be. Twenty-three houses so far. Not one taker. They all have kids of their own to do the work, or else they don't have any work that needs doing. Or else they're inexplicably suspicious of some complete stranger with no references who's going door to door. Looks like this road dead ends next to the lake. And it's the last one in town. So try down here, then work my way around to the east side. That's not promising. All that's here is just some burnt-out ruin along the lakefront. No. There's a house, too. And just look at it. I wonder if the Adams family lives there. All it needs is a moat. Well, couldn't hurt to try, right? Yeah. Famous last words. Okay, Cassie. You can do this. It's just an old house. A spooky old house. Spooky old house that's probably infested with ghosts.
Yes. Infested with ghosts. And they hate outsiders.
I'm so sorry. I didn't see you there. I'm Cassie Travers. I'm new in town.
You must be, or else you'd know not to come here.
I didn't see any no trespassing signs.
They're implied. No one sets foot on my land.
I'm sorry. I didn't know.
You do now.
Yes. Well, since I'm already here, I was just wondering if you might need some help around your place.
Not interested.
But, I mean, it sure looks like you could.
You can't fix what needs fixing in this house.
Oh, you'd be surprised. I'm actually really handy.
It suits me just fine as it is.
But how could it? The paint's all peeled off, half the windows are broken, and the front yard looks like Tarzan should be swinging through any second. It's lucky not to be condemned. Sorry.
Tell me, have you had much luck with this approach?
I haven't had much luck with any approach today.
Then you should be used to the disappointment. Good life lesson to learn.
Don't I know it.
Goodbye. Don't come back.
But
I mean it. I really don't want to have to call the sheriff.
Look, ma'am, all I want to do is earn enough money so I can get out of this godforsaken town and go back home.
Really?
Oh, Lord, yes. And the sooner, the better.
You'd leave and never come back?
Without a second thought.
Smart girl. All right.
You'll hire me?
Yeah. $10 an hour, paid at the end of the week.
Really? Thank you.
Don't be too quick to thank me. You'll earn it. Besides, the sooner you save up money, the sooner you'll be gone, right?
Right. Like I said earlier, I'm Cassie Travers.
Oh, sorry. Haven't had to introduce myself to someone in a long time. Lane Howitt.
Pleased to meet you, Mrs. Howitt. Or is it Miss Howitt?
We won't be chatting often enough for it to be an issue.
Okay.
You might as well start on the front yard. My property runs all the way up to the tree line there.
By the burned-down building?
Yeah.
What was it? The building, I mean.
A dairy.
Seems like a strange spot for a dairy.
They built it on the site of an old hotel.
They tore down a hotel to build a dairy?
No, the hotel burned down too.
They both burned down. Doesn't that seem suspicious?
Yeah, long story.
But...
long story is my way of saying I don't want to take the time to explain this.
Sorry.
The dairy burned back in 51. The Howitt Lake Hotel fire was a long time before that, turn of the century. Hotel was rebuilt, burned down a second time just a few years later.
Howitt Lake?
That's what it used to be called. Named for a distant relative of mine. The current name fits a lot better, though.
Phantom Lake.
Yeah.
Doesn't Phantom Lake get its name from a water spirit that's supposed to live in...
You'll need tools. Yeah, there are probably some things in that shed. I'm going inside.
If I should have any questions...
Don't. This is the longest conversation I've had in 15 years. And I'm all talked out.
Lucy Travers?
That's right.
I'm Bob MacGyver, the town sheriff. Welcome to Maquantico, Mrs. Travers.
Thank you, Sheriff.
If you have a moment, I've been meaning to talk with you. It's about your daughter.
She's not in any trouble, is she?
Sort of. No, I don't mean that she's done anything wrong herself. It's just, could you come next door to my office? It won't take long.
Of course.
Create a job for me, please. In Brookdale.
Please, sit down.
Thank you.
Your daughter's working for one of the folks at the south end of town, isn't she?
Yes, Mrs. Howitt, I think.
I'd like to give you a friendly piece of advice.
And what's that?
Tell your daughter to quit. And to not go back to the Howitt House anymore.
All right, but why?
You're a newcomer, so of course you don't know the town's history, but there's one bit of it you should make yourself familiar with. Maquantico's a small place. Everyone knows everyone, and while the young fellas might get liquored up on Saturday nights, violent crime is almost unheard of, particularly murder.
Murder? Here?
15 years ago, almost to the day, Lane Howitt's teenage daughter went missing. No trace of her was ever found, but when someone's missing for that long, well, odds are it was murder. Especially when there's a prime suspect.
Oh, poor Mrs. Howitt. She must have been devastated.
She was our prime suspect.
What?
All the evidence was circumstantial, but added up to a pretty damning case against her. Sarah Howitt had been placed at the Howitt House the evening of her disappearance by a phone call, and the caller overheard Sarah and her mother arguing quite bitterly.
Arguing about what?
The young man the girl was seeing. Lane Howitt hadn't been married when she got pregnant with Sarah, and her bad experience left her distrustful of men in general. She was adamantly against Sarah having a boyfriend, but you know how teenagers are. The more you try to deny him something, the more they want it.
Oh, do I know that.
Later that evening, several of Sarah's friends tried calling the house but got no answer. Sarah never showed up at school the next day, so I went out to take a look. I found Lane Howitt sitting there on the porch, just staring at the lake. She was in shock. Couldn't tell us anything. And the girl? She was nowhere to be found.
Well, maybe she drowned.
We dragged the lake. It's only 12 feet deep. If she was in there, we'd have found her.
Then maybe she and her boyfriend ran off together. You know, eloped.
Only he didn't disappear like she did. In fact, he never even left the house that night, according to 5 family members.
Any other possible suspects?
Possible? Sure, the whole town. But probable? Nah. We all loved Sarah. Everything pointed towards Lane having accidentally killed the girl, possibly during their argument, disposing of the body, and then being completely overwhelmed by what she'd done.
Did she ever stand trial?
No. Not enough evidence to try her on, at least not in a court of law. The court of public opinion, on the other hand. The fact that she never denied having killed her daughter was the clincher. Lane Howitt's been a pariah here in Maquoneago ever since. To my knowledge, she hasn't left that house once since she was released from the hospital.
Not even for food?
Nope. No one local would sell her anything anyway. Gets it delivered twice a month from Waukesha. She just sits in that house, quietly stewed, day after day, year after year. Anyway, I thought you should know.
Thank you, Sheriff. My daughter's over at the Howitt place right now. I think I should go over and pick her up.
You want me to go with you?
No, it's all right. I'm sure we'll be fine. Cassie, please, please be fine.
Language.
Sorry.
That's okay. I'm just taking a dollar out of your pay for every swear.
At this rate, I'll owe you money.
But you're learning a life lesson you can't put a price on.
Yeah. Mom! What are you doing here?
Sorry. I need your help at the house.
Well, can it wait? I'm right in the middle of something here.
No, it can't wait.
So, just what is this thing that can't wait?
I'll tell you on the way.
Why can't you tell me now?
Get in the car, Cassie.
What in the world is the matter with you?
Just get in the car.
You'd better do what she says. I think your mother's been talking to my loving neighbors.
You stay out of this.
Mom, you're acting like a crazy woman. I'm not going anywhere until you tell me what's going on.
I don't think it's a good idea for you to be working here anymore.
Tell her why.
Shut up.
Yes, tell me why.
You may as well. I certainly won't hear anything I haven't already heard 1,000 times before.
Cassie, your friend here murdered her daughter.
Friend? Well, that's a stretch.
What?
It's true. The sheriff told me everything. 15 years ago, her daughter disappeared after the two of them had a bitter argument. The girl was never found, and the only suspect was her.
Is this true?
It's the only explanation that makes any sense.
That's not what I asked you. I asked you if it's true.
That may not be the answer you were looking for, but it's the only one I've got.
Well, I don't believe it.
Believe it. The sheriff made a convincing case.
I don't care. I know her.
Because we've had a couple of conversations? You don't know me at all.
But I do. I know that behind that caustic exterior, there's a person who's been shut away from the world for so very long.
Stop right there.
Someone who's dying from loneliness and grief.
Shut up.
Don't you tell my daughter to shut up. She's trying to understand you, God knows why.
I'll tell you both to shut up at my pleasure while you're on my property.
We won't be here much longer. Unless you'd like to call Sheriff MacGyver and have him run us off right away.
You poor woman. I can't even imagine what it's been like for you.
Enough! I can handle hatred, scorn, but don't you dare give me your pity. I don't want it. I don't deserve it.
Why can't you tell anyone what really happened to her?
Because I'd rather you think I'm just a monster, rather than a monster, and stark, raving mad.
Too late for that.
Please!
You want to hear it? All right. Sarah. Sarah and I, we did have a fight that night. About a boy she was seeing. Thinking back, I should have just kept my mouth shut. I didn't want her to end up being a teen mom like I was. But that would have been a far kinder fate than what did happen to her.
What did happen, Lane?
She stormed out of the house. I was about to follow her when... When I heard her scream.
Someone took her?
Yes.
Did you see who it was?
I did.
And who was it?
The water.
You mean she drowned?
No. I mean that the water had reached out and pulled her in. Pulled her under.
That doesn't make any sense.
You know how Phantom Lake got its name, don't you?
Something about a water spirit.
Yes. A water spirit to whom the Potawatomi Indians sacrificed one young girl every September. A girl that the spirit of Phantom Lake, the Minnewaukan, took as its bride. The Potawatomi have been gone from here for centuries now. But the spirit still searches for that bride on the darkest September nights. And on a September night, 15 years ago, the Minnewaukan took my little girl. So I sit here on the porch every day, every night, watching the lake, waiting for her to come back, knowing that she never will, but waiting anyway.
I can see why you never told anyone. Come on, Cassie.
But, Mom!
Now, and you. You stay away from my daughter, or I swear I will kill you.
I'll be here. I'll always be here.
Cassie, I know you're angry with me, and I understand it. I know you feel sorry for that Howitt woman, that you want to help her. But you need to understand my side of things. Maybe I pity her a little bit too. But you heard her. She's not right in the head. And even though you're 16 now, you're still my daughter. And it's my job to keep you safe. When you have kids of your own, you'll find out just what that means. Anyway, good night. Cassie? Oh, no, she didn't. Her window, open, and she's not inside.
Sheriff's office, Deputy Perkins speaking.
Deputy, is Sheriff MacGyver there?
No, ma'am. He knocked off for the night about an hour ago.
Can you please call him? It's urgent.
I'll be glad to help, ma'am. Just tell me what the trouble is.
No, I need the sheriff. Tell him that it's Lucy Travers, and I think my daughter's run off to the old Howitt place. I'm going there right now.
The Howitt place? I'll call him as soon as we hang up.
Please, come in.
Mom.
Cassandra Ann Travers, you are in so much trouble.
And you! I told you to leave my daughter alone.
She showed up at my door. What was I supposed to do?
Send her home?
It was dangerous enough for her just coming here. There was no way I was going to have her walking back home alone.
Do you hear that, Cassie? She really believes that some boogeyman is going to rise out of the lake and snatch you up like it did to her daughter.
And that's just it, Mom. She really believes it. Maybe she's not well, like you say. Or maybe something did happen out in the water. Like, her daughter fell in and got tangled up in some vegetation and drowned. I don't know. But either way, she deserves to have at least one person in this town treat her like a human being.
That may be. But it's not going to be my daughter. You ever come here again, and I'll ship you off to boarding school the very next day.
Like sending me away from this town is any threat at all?
Try me. Now go get in the car.
No.
Get in the damn car now.
No! Cassie! Don't!
Are you satisfied now?
We have to go out and bring her back.
Don't you go anywhere. That's the sheriff.
But you don't understand the danger Cassie's in.
What do you mean the danger Cassie's in?
The mini walk-in, Sheriff.
What? The old water spirit legend?
Yes.
Sheriff MacIver, this lunatic has been going on about how that old American Indian water spirit is what took her daughter.
I don't care if you believe me or not. Lock me away, but first bring Cassie back inside. Sheriff, please.
Okay, calm down, both of you. Let's just go through this nice and slow.
Cassie!
Good God. I wouldn't believe it if I wasn't seeing it.
He was right. That thing has Cassie out in the water. What do we do? Sheriff, what do we do?
No, you don't! Not this time! You don't get to have this one. Do you hear me? You took my daughter, damn you! But you don't get to have this one! Cassie! Swim as hard as you can!
But
go!
Hurry, Cassie! Swim! Swim!
Get Cassie under her other arm! We need to get her as far away from the water as we can!
Lane! We have to help her!
It's too late. She's gone.
No! It's my fault! I killed her, Mom! I killed her!
No, Cassie. You saved her. Lane Howitt died 15 years ago. Died a slow, painful death of heartache and guilt because she felt she'd failed her daughter. But by rescuing you, she could face her end feeling that she'd redeemed herself. She's at peace now. And she's with Sarah.
So ends Muckwanago by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes. Tonight's story of Suspense. Suspense is produced by Blue Hours Productions and recorded at Melrose Music in Hollywood, California. Tonight's radio drama was written especially for Suspense by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes. Marilyn Gigliotti was Lucy Travers. Susan Eisenberg was Lane Howitt. Kate Scott was Cassie Travers. Joe Ockman was Sheriff MacIver. Dana Perry Hayes was the cashier. And Todd Siski was Deputy Perkins. I'm your host, Damon Crawl. Next week at this time, tune in again for another study in Suspense.
Tune in every Tuesday afternoon from 1 to 2 p.m. for the Community Living Show. Join host Michael, Kelly, and friends on CITR 101.9 FM and also online at www.citr.ca for the Community Living Show, right after the Morning After Show.
We don't need to tell you that Vancouver has a housing problem.
Mass evictions.
Mass rent evictions.
Unfair rent increases.
What happened to rent control and protection from unfair eviction?
If these or other housing matters concern you, you may be interested in joining the Vancouver Tenants Union. For more information, visit tenantsunion.ca.
And you are tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM. My name is still Brian McDonald, I think. And that is all the time we have for Scalds Hall. Coming up in a moment, we'll have Canada Post Rock with John. So from all of us here in Vancouver, have a safe and happy weekend.